Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you that I've entitled, Jesus Became Our Door. All of humanity has one problem that must be addressed, and that problem is spiritual death. We all came into this world spiritually dead, and unless we are freed from death, we'll suffer eternity for death. Jesus came to become our door out of this death and into life. Paul called Jesus the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15 and taught the Corinthians about how the gospel is truly about identifying in Jesus as the last Adam, risen from the dead. Jesus became our door out of death and into life. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, the teacher, whom you have sent to teach us. And Father, we believe this evening that the Holy Ghost is here to teach us, and we open our hearts, and we believe that we receive from you, directly from you, revelation of what your word is saying to us. And we thank you for it now. Lord Jesus, Lord, what a wonderful gift that you've given us in your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. We're so grateful. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, and we approach your word with expectations in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in the last few lessons that we have had, we've been talking from the book of 1 Corinthians, looking at what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, made a lot of different statements to them. It's a very lengthy letter, and we have looked particularly in the last few weeks towards the end of the letter. We've looked at the 12th chapter, talking about the body of Christ, the many-membered part of the body, the many-membered parts, as well as the gifts of the Spirit that Paul describes in that 12th chapter. In the 13th chapter, he talks about the love, the agape. He called it charity there. But the love, which is all the attributes that who God is. And we looked at that in the 14th chapter. Paul talked about the tongues, the different types of tongues, the tongues for personal edification. He talked about tongues for the public assembly. We looked a little bit at those, particularly at tongues for personal edification. And that we're approaching the 15th chapter here. In the 15th chapter, I have found this to be one of my favorite chapters, because Paul gives us what the gospel is in this 15th chapter, and he does it in such a way, really unlike any of the other letters that he wrote, at least in my opinion, where he talks about the two Adams. He talks about the first man, Adam, and he talks about the second man, the last Adam, which is Jesus. And he does it in a way that it's really the explanation of the gospel. And I find it interesting that Paul would close out this letter after having said all of the various things that he did to this church at Corinth. You know, basically he started out in a kind of a mode of correction, correcting these people, because they, you know, he called them really carnal, bottle-sucking babies in the third chapter. So, you know, he's really in a mode of correcting these people. And he also had addressed the fact that they are, at that point, they were trying to line up behind certain individuals. You know, they were aligning themselves with Paul. I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. So what they were doing was they were really relinquishing their personal responsibility for their own growth and development. And they were rallying around certain figureheads, certain individuals, putting those people on pedestals. And I can tell you from Paul's writings that he did not want to be on a pedestal. You know, he was not looking for that. And unlike so many ministers today that like that limelight, he wasn't one that it really was seeking after the limelight. He was someone that, his heart was for the people. His heart was to feed the people, to minister to them. It wasn't for his own personal gratification or that it would draw attention to him. And so that's the kind of how he approached this letter, how he started this letter. And he talked about several different things. So I'm not going to try to synopsize everything that he talked about in the letter to the Corinthians. But in this 15th chapter, after all the things that he said, you know, he's going to address an issue that these Corinthians were, not all of them, but many of them were falling into a trap of wrong doctrine, of believing incorrectly, of actually proclaiming something that was not at all the case. And what they were proclaiming is there's no resurrection of the dead. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then forget it. Let's just go do whatever we want to do. If this is all that there is, and there is no resurrection of the dead, then forget it. We'll just live however we want to, and we'll just die like a dog, just be dead. That's just foolishness. And so here at the end of this letter, I really believe this is probably of all the things that Paul talked about in this letter. It's like, you know how you kind of wind everything up, you come up to the end of something, you've written this long letter to these people, and you're winding it down, you're coming up to the end, and this is extremely important. It's like this is the most important thing, I believe, really, that he is going to tell these people. It's like there are some of you in this church that are preaching this wrong doctrine. You're preaching something that's false, that there's no resurrection of the dead. How could you preach this? How could you teach this? How could you stand up in front of your brethren and tell them there's no resurrection of the dead? That's foolishness. And, you know, you just think about this. And here's a church Paul established. You know, blood, sweat, and tears he has gone into this church. And now he's not there. He's writing back to them. And what has happened, they have gotten off, some of them, not all of them, but some of them have gotten off from the core message of the gospel. Now look here, chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So I'm going to declare this to you. This is the gospel. Here it is, which I have preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also, verse 2, you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and he rose again the third day. Here, this is the gospel. Isn't it just amazing that Paul has to get down to this level with these people after establishing this church? Now he's in this letter writing back to them. He's having to get down to the very basics and tell them, just like, here's the gospel. Okay, get ready. I'm going to tell you the gospel. Christ died for our sins. I mean, you know, here's the sad thing. As I said that right then, what came to my mind is, how many churches today, even in this country, this message right here, they're almost oblivious to it. You know, they're trying to figure out, okay, now what is sin? Because now they want to redefine what sin is. You know, and instead of looking at, this is the message, Christ died for our sins and he rose again. He died and he rose again. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Resurrection Day. And here's the message of resurrection. You know, he died in our place. See, as the second man, and we're going to see this later on in this chapter, the last Adam, he reversed everything, every single thing that the first Adam put into motion. And I think it is just so amazing in this 15th chapter that Paul could identify these two Adams, that he could identify that there's really only been two men, the first man, the first Adam, and the second man, the last Adam. Only two men, really. As far as God is concerned, either you identify in the first man or you identify in the second man, the last Adam. And see, that first Adam, what did he do? Because here's what Paul is going to talk about in this chapter. He's going to talk about death. He's going to talk about spiritual death and how the first Adam, here he was, in perfection, in the garden. He had everything that any person could have ever hoped for. He had a personal relationship with his Creator, God Almighty. He was on a first name basis, could talk with him, walk with him, fellowship with him. God had given him the run of this planet. He had given him the rule of this planet and had only told him just care for the trees, tend the trees in the garden, and that was it. And keep dominion. That was his responsibility. And what did he do? Well, you know the story. We're not going to have to go back and look at the entire story. But, you know, there was a temptation. The serpent came, tempted Eve. And Eve, she partook of the apple and she gave to the man. And the man partook of the fruit. I said the apple. That's what everyone says. Adam partook of that fruit. Now, what happened? When the instant that Adam sinned, what happened to him? You know, I preached a message years ago and I talked about the door that disappeared. And I'm telling you, it's an awesome revelation because it's as if there was a door that appeared right in front of Adam. That the instant that he partook of that fruit, he stepped through that doorway from perfection, from life, into death. And as he passed through that doorway, as he partook of that fruit, that door slammed shut and disappeared. And there was no way that Adam could step back through that doorway anymore. It was gone. And it happened the instant that he transgressed the commandment that God the Father gave to him. Don't eat of that fruit. And the instant that he did, he passed through that doorway from life into death. The door disappeared and he was completely engulfed in death. There was no life to be found, nowhere. Death entered everything. See, that's really what the price that Jesus paid was for us to pass out of death and into life. And we're going to see a verse here that talks about the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death. You know, a bee has a little stinger, and that stinger injects poison into you when it stings you, and that's what hurts you. With death, the sting of it is sin. Just like the stinger of a bee stings you, the sting of death is sin. What Jesus died for, he died to free us from not just sin, but death. Because if he just delivered us from sin, we still live in death. He had to deliver us from spiritual death. Do you get that? See, a lot of people think that Jesus just forgave you from your sins. No, it's more than that. It has to be more than that. Because if he just forgave you from your sins, or sin, however you want to say it, then you still have death working inside of you. And death is, the sting of death is sin, but death is still there. Even if sin has been forgiven, spiritual death has to be removed. And the only way of doing that is by passing back through the doorway that Adam initially walked into. And there was only one way out, and it had to be from someone that didn't originate in this world. Who could that be? There could only be one way out, because everything, humanity itself, every generation passed spiritual death on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. So there was only one way out, and that one way was that someone had to come from outside in and deliver us out of spiritual death. They had to bring into this world life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came. He brought life into this world. Let's look at one verse here. It'll be in the book of John. That will explain what I'm saying here a little bit better than maybe what I'm doing. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Hallelujah. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The life came from the outside in. From outside of this world came life. And it came in the person of Jesus, born of a virgin. He was the one light in all of this whole world of death, darkness. Every person throughout this entire planet who existed, whoever did exist, was spiritually dead. On the inside was black darkness until Jesus came. When Jesus came, He brought life into this world. The light that shined in the darkness was the light of the life of God in Jesus, who was born of a virgin into this world. Glory to God. He brought what we needed. But here's the thing. He brought it. Here he is walking on this planet with the very substance of life, the very thing that we need. Now, how is he going to get it from the inside of him into us? There's the dilemma. Was he just going to say, here's some life, here, just take some life? No. You know, there had to be a process in which his life would come into us, but it meant that we would have to completely die the death of the cross. Now, how could we die the death of the cross and still live? Well, the way to do it is we die the death of the cross in Jesus. We identify with him. We identify with the price that he paid on that cross. And when we identify with him and we recognize, Jesus, you paid the price for me. Glory to God. The instant that we do that, glory, we pass from death to life. The person that we used to be dies the death of the cross. Now, we can just camp right there just for a few minutes, because that's a point that I believe most of Christianity, they're oblivious to, and I hate that. It shouldn't be that way. We need to recognize that the old person that used to exist in this body died the death of the cross in Jesus. No longer exists. And now this is a brand new person, born again, child of the living God, filled with the life of God. Hallelujah. And that life, let's look at Romans 8. That life that's inside of us now is giving life to this mortal body. We're not supposed to walk around here sick and decrepit. We're supposed to walk around here filled with the life of God. Let me, in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Here you have it. The Spirit is life. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That life has come into us. What Adam, the first Adam, lost in the garden, what he lost, never again to be obtained by him. He could not get it back. There was no way for him to pass back through that doorway. That doorway was gone. The only way back through for us was to pass through the door that Jesus became for us. He became that door out of spiritual death and back into life. And that's what it's saying right here in the 10th verse. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, verse 11, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. That quickening is that making alive. See, that life is coming out of our reborn human spirit, giving life to this physical body. We need to draw from that life. We need to expect that life to fill our physical bodies. Because these bodies, they can still catch sickness and disease. But if we will believe this verse right here, believe what God has done for us, we can keep sickness off of us, command it to leave, command the life out of our reborn human spirit to fill this physical body. Glory to God. So let's go back over here once again to the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. So these Corinthians, they've struggled because they have accepted a lie. Not all of them, but many of them. and have been proclaiming something that wasn't true. They've been proclaiming there's no resurrection from the dead. And Paul is telling them, this is the gospel. The gospel is, yes, there is resurrection from the dead. Jesus was raised to life again as the second man, the last Adam. He died the death of the cross. He passed from death into life. And in doing so, he created a doorway for us to pass back through from death to life. He became that door and passed through it. And the verses that talk about this is in John, the 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter says in verse 9. Excuse me, let's start in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He had said earlier in the verse 1 of chapter 10, Gospel of John, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So in that first verse, he that enters not by the door is a robber. So what was the door that he's describing there? He's describing the door that he himself came through legally. And that was the doorway of the womb of Mary. That was the door that he legally came through into this world. There was only one way into this world legally, and it's through birth. And Jesus legally came here as 100% man and 100% God. God, the God-man. He passed through that doorway of the birth canal into this natural world. And that enabled him to create, to be the door for us to pass through. First, he had to pass through the door into this world. But then he became the door that we could pass through to walk out of spiritual death, the place the first Adam walked into. He walked through the doorway into spiritual death. Jesus came through the door into this world of the birth canal of Mary into this natural world. And from that point, he created the door that we can pass through from death into life. Glory to God. That is so awesome. So here you have Jesus walking around for 33 and a half years, having the life of God on the inside of us. We weren't able to access the life, to put his life inside of us. But I'm telling you, we saw some miracles happening in him. We saw some miracles in and around him. But we were not able to benefit. He could not take that life and give us eternal life, because our spirit was spiritually dead, and we had to be recreated. There had to be a birthing process. That's what he's talking about in John chapter 3, where he's talking to Nicodemus. When he's telling Nicodemus about you must be born again, and that's in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 1, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now look at the response that Nicodemus gives us. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So you can tell by the response that Nicodemus gave that what he was hearing, the understanding that he had from the words Jesus was speaking, was that of a birthing process. He understood Jesus to be talking about being reborn, like a baby would be coming out of its mother. And what? How can I do this? Go back into my mother's womb to be born again? And Jesus responded and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So here we have Jesus explaining how it is that he is going to get this life that is on the inside of him into each and every one of us who will accept through identification and substitution what he did for us on the cross. When we accept that, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we go through that birth canal, if you allow me to say it that way, in the spirit. We pass through the doorway that he created. Going back here once again to John chapter 10. This doorway. See, he passed through the doorway of John chapter 10 verse 1. And then in verse 7 he says, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So let's just stop there. Let's think about this for a minute. The door that disappeared, he became the door that we pass through into eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Adam, the first Adam, he passed through this doorway willingly. He chose this path. He chose transgression and walked into death. And that door slammed shut and disappeared. It was gone. There was no way to come back through that doorway for us in and of its on our own will and on our own volition to step back through. It was gone forever. There had to be another door that was created for us. And it had to originate from outside of this natural world. Because everything in this world was cursed with death. See, this is the message that Paul's teaching the Corinthians. He's gonna tell them about the two Adams. He's gonna tell them about this second man, the last Adam. And he's pointing to the fact that, yes, there is a resurrection from the dead. You're believing a lie if you don't believe there's a resurrection from the dead. There's no way out of death unless you believe that Jesus rose from the dead and created a door in which we can willingly pass through by identifying with him and the payment that he made for us. Hallelujah. Look at this in John chapter 10 verse 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, I love. I remember when God illuminated those two words, in and out. Oh my goodness. What an awesome moment in my life that was when he showed me in and out. You step in to life and out of death. In and out. You're not halfway in and halfway out. No, you are either in or you're out. Spiritual life, you step into it. You step into the life. You step out of death. But Mark, I still live in this world of death. Yes, you do. But don't forget that you have the life of God on the inside of you, giving life to this physical body. So whenever it tries to accept disease in this body, when disease tries to attach itself to it, just believe for the life of God to come out of this reborn human spirit and give life to this physical mortal body. It's the only mortal body you're ever going to have. When Jesus returns, you're going to get a glorified body. Hallelujah. So let's go back here. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 one more time, because I want to point out these verses that I've been speaking about. Let's go to verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So as he's about to get into this, but what he's saying, he's talking about the fact that they're believing that there's no resurrection from the dead. If this is it, folks, if we don't have anything else, we're of all men most miserable. If there is no resurrection from the dead. But thank God, hallelujah, there is. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man, here we go, by man came death. You know, it didn't say by man came sin. It said by man came death. See, death is the root problem. Sin is a fruit of the root. But the root is death. And don't ever forget that. Because we have people that don't understand this concept that death is the problem. Spiritual death is what has plagued mankind. Anybody that has not accepted Jesus and passed through the door that he became into life again, they are plagued with death. Yes, they exhibit sin. Yes, they commit sin. But the root problem isn't the sin, it's the death. If the death is gotten rid of, it's going to take care of the sin. But it doesn't, even at that, we're going to see a verse later, I hope we get to it, that even talks about that, about the fact that there's still sin, even if you have passed through this doorway. He tells us later on about that. I don't want to jump ahead, though. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every person born into the human race through the first man, Adam, came into existence with death. They were plagued with it. There was no way around it. Not one single person throughout all of humanity has ever come through that doorway of the birth canal into the human race, except for Jesus, with life. Jesus was the only one that came through that birth canal, that doorway into humanity with life. Every other person came with death. Death. And we have to pass through the doorway that the door that he created through his death, burial, and resurrection. We pass through that door out of death and into life. Out of death and into life. Glory to God. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All right, let me go down through here. The verse that I was referring to a moment ago is verse 34. Let's read up to it. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. What the evil communication in this case was the evil message that was being preached. What was the message? That there is no resurrection from the dead. It was corrupting people. Can you imagine? You've believed on Christ and now someone's preaching the message there's no resurrection from the dead. What would that do? You're undermining the whole message of the gospel. And it was corrupting people. Awake, look at this, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. He's talking to born again people. Don't ever think that there's not any more sin. He says right here, awake unto righteousness and sin not. Can you still sin? Yeah, you can still sin. And there is repentance for that sin. If you ask the Lord, he will forgive you. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. What is he saying there? First of all, there has to be a death. Thank God we didn't have to suffer that death for ourselves. We didn't have to hang on that cross. Jesus did it for us. He hung there. He died the death of the cross. And what we do when we die, when we identify with him in his death, we die the death of the cross in him. Glory to God. That's what the message that in the baptism, when you lay down, you are laying in that watery coffin of death. But once you lay down into it, then that watery death, the water changes to the water of that surrounds the baby. Before it's born, and it becomes the water of the new birth, and you rise to new life again. Glory to God. That's what baptism is. That's the picture of baptism. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's look down here at, let's begin in the 42nd verse. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That quickening spirit, when we identify in his death, burial, and resurrection, we die the death of the cross, and there is a quickening that takes place. We're born again. We receive a reborn human spirit. Hallelujah. We pass from death unto life. He's teaching them the gospel. This is the gospel. Is there resurrection from the dead, Corinthian church? By all means, there is. Howbeit, that was not first, verse 46, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That was the first Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Notice, it only talks about two men, the first and the second, the first Adam and the last Adam. You are either in the first man or you are in the second man. Hallelujah. I identify with that second man, the last Adam. I have passed through that doorway that he became for me. The doorway that disappeared in the garden, Jesus became. Really, he became it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, and there was great drops of blood from his sweat. That's where the door really came into existence. Because why? Because that's where he made that decision. I'm going to the cross. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. He made that decision. It was done. So what happened in the first garden was that door that came into existence through the sin of the first Adam. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see a door appear. And that door was the door that we pass through from death into life. Hallelujah. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the new birth, that we can pass from death into life. Thank you, Jesus. Howbeit that would, verse 47, the first man is of the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Thank God. Let's go down here. I want to read towards the end of this chapter. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, if you've followed me in any of these other messages, Paul talked about the mysteries in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, he's going to share with us one of these mysteries. Here's a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Glory to God. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Look, I wanted to get to these verses right here. Death is swallowed up in victory. See, that's what's plagued mankind throughout all of these many centuries, has been death, spiritual death. And yes, it's been manifested in sin, the fruit of it, but the root is the fact that we're spiritually dead, or we were until we passed through that doorway. That's what has corrupted mankind, is death. When Adam, the first Adam, passed through that door through his transgression, he passed from spiritual life into spiritual death. So let's look at this again. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thank God for it. Finally, hallelujah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, I mentioned this earlier in this message, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The manifestation of spiritual death is that you sin. That's what happens. You sin. But the root of the problem isn't the sin. It's the death. And the strength of sin is the law. What was the law all about? The law was given to the children of Israel to prove to them that they were what? Spiritually dead. They didn't know they were spiritually dead until God gave them the law. And what did he say? Here, keep it. They couldn't. That's why he enacted the sacrifices, so that he wouldn't have to destroy them, but they would destroy the sacrifices in their place. But it was all in an effort to prove to this group of people who really stood in the place of all humanity. It was like he chose this sample group. You know, if you do a survey, you take a sampling of the whole population to do the survey. Well, God took a sample group, and it was Israel, to prove to all humanity that you're spiritually dead. And he proved it because he gave them the law and said, here, keep this. And they couldn't. And it was an effort to show them the reason that you can't keep this is because you're spiritually dead. And yet, what did Israel think? We're going to keep this law, and that's going to make us righteous. No, it's not. Because you can't keep the law. See, they thought even though they sin and they would offer the sacrifices, okay, well then we're righteous. So, you know, our actions are making us righteous, whether it was through the sacrifices or following the law. They missed the whole point. The whole point was, no, you can't keep the law because you are spiritually dead. And as a result of you being spiritually dead, it is the proof that all of humanity suffers from this one central problem, spiritual death. And so Jesus came to be the doorway for us to pass through, out of that death and into life, and life more abundantly. Glory to God. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory over what? Over just sin? No. We have the victory over death. Glory to God. Death in all of its many different facets. Sin, sickness, disease, poverty, everything, all of that is associated with spiritual death. You see, before Adam passed through that door into spiritual death, when he was in life in that garden, there was no poverty. There was no sickness, no disease, no lack of any kind. There was none of that. It only came into existence after he passed through that door, through his transgression into spiritual death. And once he did, then you see sin, sickness, disease, poverty. Then you see all of that coming into existence. Glory to God. But thanks be to God, verse 57, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this, verse 58, and this will be the last verse of the chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Don't listen to the wrong doctrine that tells you there's no resurrection from the dead. You know, don't listen. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Believe the truth. Believe in the resurrection from the dead. Believe that you have passed from death unto life. Believe that you have the victory over all of spiritual death in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That is the message of the gospel. And Paul preached it to this Corinthian church. He waited to the very end of this letter to preach the gospel, to address a problem that would send many people to hell. You know, if you don't believe in the resurrection, how can you believe in Jesus in his new birth? You can't. You can't believe that he rose from the, or that he didn't rise from the dead, and that he saved you. There's no way. You have to believe he rose from the dead. You have to believe that he stood in your place on that cross. You have to believe that he came to this earth, the Son of God, that he lived a life of perfection, sinless, that he died in your place on that cross, and that he became the doorway in his resurrection. He became the doorway that we can pass through from death into life. Glory to God. And so we need to be steadfast and unmovable in this message of the gospel. Glory to God. I tell you, that message right there, that is a powerful message. It's one that I remember when God gave that to me. It is awesome how he showed that to me, how he showed me the door and how it disappeared, and how he came through the doorway of the birth canal through the Virgin Mary, and how he became the doorway for us to pass through out of death and into life. Jesus became our door. And that's the title of this message. Jesus became our door. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our door. Thank you that we can pass from death to life, that we have by making you the Lord of our life. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, what an awesome message. God, I am so grateful that you have given me the understanding to, and allowed me to be able to deliver this by your Holy Spirit. And I believe that every person that hears, that will ever hear this message, will completely understand what the root problem is, spiritual death, and how it plagues all of humanity until we pass through that doorway that you, Jesus, became for us, out of death and into life. And once we pass through that doorway, glory to God, we are victorious. We have victory in every area of our life. And we thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being our door. Thank you for being our door, for coming and becoming our door out of death and into life. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.